If anybody ought to be praising God, it's the people that I'm preaching to today, because the God that we serve is not in trouble. He's not old with age. He's not worn out with use. He's the same God of the book of Genesis that he will be in the book of Revelation. And when time is no more, he's going to be as powerful then as he is right here. Don't let the devil of doubt rob your faith of God. He still heals cancer. He still heals heart conditions. He still heals the blind. And I know some of you having a hard time today, but your God is not in trouble. Your God is not weak. Your God is not frail. Your God still sits on the throne. Your God still reigns supreme. I got a long way to go, but you got to get this today. God is still on the throne. I left this week. I left late last night out of necessity. Had other travel arrangements. I have a 16-year-old boy home right now, literally so sick he can't get out of bed. My wife is unable to leave him. It's been a long week. Tumors and chemicals in the body and the things that go on in his body right now. It's a test all of in itself. It sometimes feels it's too heavy. But I still stand here today and tell you, in spite of what doctors say, my God is a healer. My God is a way maker. I don't care if they tell me there's no hope. I don't care if they tell me there's no alternative. I serve a God that is able. I serve a God that is able. You're not helping me here today. I'm going to preach it till some more. You say amen. God's able to heal a tumor. God's able to heal cancer. God's still a healer. I prayed for him last night. I said, say it with me. Come on, say it with me, son. And I got his eyes open. And when he locked eyes with me, he said, God is our source. It won't always be like this. I'm not saying this to get sympathy from you. I need not your sympathy. I just need God to know. I still believe that you can. If you decide not to, that's your problem. But I know you can. I know you have the power. And some of you have lost that revelation. God's not unfair. God's not unjust. God. Yeah. Well, if God is so fair, why did he let it happen? God doesn't let things happen. God doesn't let things happen. God is sovereign. And God has a master plan. And your choice and my choice and their choice will always come into play with God's sovereignty. God could have stopped Eve anytime he wanted to. But God had the perimeters pre-existent. If you shall hearken diligently and do all whatsoever I command you this day, then shall all these blessings come upon you. But don't forget, it rains on the just like it rains on the unjust. And trouble comes to us all. You are not exempt from heartache. You are not exempt from sickness. You are not exempt from trouble. Just because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. However, in the day of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. When the world has trouble, they have no umbrella from the rain. But I can come together with God's church. I can come together with God's people and get a refuge. I can get a reprieve. I can be reminded, those skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I'm going to see God. I came naked, I'll die naked. But right now, while I've got breath, blessed be, blessed be. Come on, don't lose your blessed be the name of the Lord attitude. God's. I don't want you to leave here today thinking that I think God's in trouble. God's in charge. God's in charge. We treated his body for almost 2 years as a sciatic nerve problem. treated him, chiropractor after chiropractor. But it wasn't until an MRI revealed that he had a tumor in the L1 to the L5 of his inside of his spinal cord, wrapped around his spinal column, spinal cord. And $1.2 million surgery and $2 million of therapy and chemicals in his body couldn't do anything. You listen to me? And I still believe God is able. When they went in, the doctor looked at me. He said, I want you to look at this MRI. He said, your son has tumors in his brain. He said, there are so many, we cannot count them. He said, it looks like one huge mass. He said, from your son's brain to his abdomen, to his waistline, he is eat up with tumors. He said, you see that and that and that and that and that and that. He said, that's connected to that one. He said, we can't even count them. He said, there's that many tumors. When I got on the phone and called my wife, I said, you got to come back to Southern California right now. Get on the first plane home. When that was on a Wednesday, when she arrived on Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we walked back into that doctor's office. He said, before we do anything, we're going to do one more MRI. And when he brought out that round of MRI, there was only one tumor. Don't sit there and make me preach any harder about how good God is. I shouldn't have to beg you to clap your hands. I shouldn't have to give you stories to make you excited about Jesus. You either believe God is or he's not. You either believe God can or God can't. Come on, Moss Bluff. It's time for you to take a step into your destiny. Quit looking behind and start looking ahead. There's something God wants to do here today. There you are. There's the apostolics of Moss Bluff. Shake yourself. The devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. Shout it. Rejoice. God is able. God is able. God is able. God is able. This sounds more apostolic right here. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't stop. Let's make the devil nervous. Don't stop for another 30 seconds. Shake him a little bit. Come on, there's something trying to break here right now. Some of you, your faith has been rocked. Your faith has been tested. But God is unmovable. God is unshakable. I'm trying to get there, but I hate the devil. And I hate this oppressive, heavy, dark cloud sitting over this church here right now this morning. I despise it. You do not intimidate me. You don't intimidate this pastor. And you don't intimidate the real church of Moss Bluff. I'm just waiting on some elders to help me. We've weathered enough storms to know that God's in charge. We've had enough victories in our past to know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll be with us. I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. Sometimes you just need to be reminded that God's still on the throne. God's still in charge. I can't hear you. You ought to be responding with more fervency. You ought to be saying, devil, you're a liar. You've robbed my faith for the last time. But wait, it's Sunday morning. We don't do that till Sunday night. Not anymore. God's wanting to wake this place up. God's wanting... If I could sing, I'd start singing, I got a praise. I got a praise that I got to get out. What are you doing? I'm just praising him because it's great. I'm not praising him on my circumstances. I'm praising him because he's God. You may be seated. Can I have you for 15 minutes? You won't go home on me, will you? I'll tell you the reason why some of you can't get up. And I'll explain to you the reason why some of you still have that bitter look of resentment on your brow. It's because in this age, things have shifted. Things have changed. The enemy that you are fighting today, you have never fought before. And I have argued with a few elders, and I've heard them say, you ain't fighting nothing that we didn't already fight. Every generation's got to raise and slay. You're right. But we don't have to rise and slay the same. We've just got to rise and slay. And we do not diminish nor weaken the victories of yesteryear. But you need to wake up, lest you be lost. Because just because you beat it in the 80s or the 90s doesn't mean that the enemy is gone. And I'm going to prove it to you. Never in all of my life. Preached my first revival at 13. Left home at 17. I'm 48 years old. Be 49 just in a few months. That's not old, but I've been doing this a while. Never in all of my life have I seen the apostolic people so shaken as they are right now. It doesn't matter how much good God you preach. It doesn't matter how many miracles you preach. It doesn't matter what stories you tell. The majority of God's people, in my opinion, are going to sit right there. And they're going to say, I've heard it all before. I've been here before. I've seen the high water marks. I've had good revival days. I've seen our church hit that and fall and hit that and fall and hit that and fall and hit that and fall. Remember, God is sovereign. He does not have to explain his ways to you nor me. But we are required to follow God. I was on the platform the other day. My son was able to travel with me. I looked over at my boy and I watched him as he took the walker and he stood up and he lifted his hands and I thought, there's my hero. I'm sorry, there's all kinds of great preachers past and present that are great men, but there is no hero like my youngest son. Because through it all, through everything, through it all, he still says, God is my source and it won't always be like this. I know that doesn't mean as much to me or to you as it does to me, but it is a miracle to me. And so I was on the platform today, looked over at him, and then I realized, I made a statement. I lifted my hands and I said, God, I need you to hear me right now. I refuse to serve you if you can't. That's all right. I'm going to get a whole lot more plain for it done here today. I will not serve a God who can't. Take my card, take my preaching job. I will surrender it all. I'll go sell horses. But I am not going to worship a God who can't. I will worship a God who can, who chooses not to, but I won't worship a God who can't. John came, I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. John, 6 months in his mother's womb, was exposed to his cousin. 6 months. He was yet 90 plus days from leaving the safety of the womb. But when he was in the presence of the man Christ, he leaped. He recognized something sovereign about Mary's baby. It's where I wish I had some old folk helping me preach right now. There's something sovereign about Mary's baby. I haven't even laid eyes on him, but I recognize there's something godlike. Woo! John's entire ministry was, the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is here. But when he was asked to be seen or to show the kingdom, he said, it's not yet. And they said, what do you call that? The theological term would be the pericope, the already but not yet. John came preaching something that was, but yet was not yet. Crooked ways are made straight. Valleys exalted, mountains lowered, everything right. Blinded eye, that's what John preached. John was baptizing people under repentance, and he felt that same thing he felt in his mother's womb. He was quickened, and when he looked up, his cousin came walking down out of the banks, and he screamed at the top of his lungs and said, look, 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 behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. You give me 15 more minutes. God's going to move in this place. There's some of you so dark and so heavy, you don't even think God knows your name. You have told people, God hates me. I can't find God. But I'm here to prove to you today, you know God, and God knows exactly where you are. And everything happens for reasons. Behold the Lamb of God. He didn't say, I think. He said, behold the Lamb of God. He didn't say, look, it could be. He said, behold the Lamb of God. He come walking down there, and John said, baptize me. Jesus said, oh, no, 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 no. You got to baptize me. I got to fulfill all righteousness. John baptized Jesus. The voice from heaven settled upon the crowd, didn't hear it. Come on, apostolics. The crowd didn't hear the voice. John, Jesus heard the voice. They just saw it. They didn't hear it. There was no audible third voice. There is no co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent Godhead. In him dwelt the fullness of. And all of a sudden, Jesus come walking out of Jordan. Didn't he take time to dry off? Started preaching. I'm fixing to leave you, but before I do, I'm going to get in you, and it's going to be fire. It's going to be Holy Ghost oil. It's going to be Holy Ghost wine. It's going to be something you never felt before. And for 3.5 years, he preached. What you felt on you is fixing to get in you. And they said, oh, no, you can't leave us. He said, I got to go, because if I don't go, he can't come. I'm tired of being among 12. I want to be in you 12. With me? And then they arrest John and put John in prison. And it gets dark. And John has the audacity to write a letter to his cousin and say, are you he? And Jesus never even stooped low enough to answer John's question. He just sent a simple reminder. Tell John, everything you preached, I'm doing. So either you're going to hear it in the light and believe it in the night, or you'll hear it when things are good, but forsake it when things are bad. Either you're going to shout with me when everybody's talking about healing and you're not sick. But what happens when you get sick? Can you still shout? Don't doubt in the night what you get in the light. Here we go. The visionary, the prophet Daniel, he said, I seen in the night visions. I had a dream. And there were four. Everybody say four. Now, don't know if I'm going to scream anymore, but I do need you to hear me. He said there were four. And if you go to Daniel 7 in my text, the reason we read as much is because every time the Lord showed Daniel a beast, he showed him a lion, a leopard, a bear. I'm convinced that the four beasts are the four spiritual ages, four types of battles, four types of seasons that the church must endure. It must go through to bring the church where it needs to be. I'm convinced that the lion, the leopard, and the bear were some of the most fiercest battles the apostolic church has ever had to fight. But I remember my pastor walking to the pulpit and saying, there's a spirit of carnality, pulled that one out of the air, that's attacked the church. I'm asking for 10 people that will join me on a 3-day fast. And we're going to war against this old spirit of carnality. And brother, hands would go up. We'll join you, Pastor. We're with you, Pastor. And it wasn't but a few days until that spirit that had attacked our church was driven out. I grew up in churches where the man of God would walk up and say, this spirit has come against us. That spirit has attacked us. And they'd say, I need you and you and you. We're going to fast. Meet me tomorrow night for a season of prayer. Calling an all-night men's prayer meeting. We're going to pray against. But now, we're at a new season. And now, you can't explain what it is you're feeling. And so long about hearing this message is when the visitors pay real close attention, but the saints start getting fidgety. I call it, they start fixing their mask, because we have bred the greatest spirit of hypocrisy that has ever lived in the church. As you can tell, I don't much care what people think about me. If I look like the hell I've been through, I'd scare you today. We have allowed God's people to master the art of hypocrisy. Where as long as you can show up and throw your tithing envelope in the offering plate and look the part, we say you are a part. But we don't want to deal with... See, I'm an old-time believer that when Jesus Christ went to Calvary, the cross was for my soul. The whipping post was for my body. But how come nobody ever preaches about the crown? When's the last time you heard a message on the mind? When's the last time a preacher told you the devil wants your mind more than he wants your body? See, we gonna master. Oh no, don't mess with my mind. Let's all talk in tongues right now. Let's everybody act like we're free right now. And you can shout with your mind tormented. You can fast with your hikatolohoshatahaya. You know what the greatest battle of the church in 2017 is? It's not worldliness. It's not compromise. It's not lack of commitment or faithfulness. It's God's church are being exhausted in the mind, and we don't know what to do. All right. You don't even want to come talk to your pastor because you can't explain what you're going through. You can't. Oh God. Hear me? Look up here at me. We got couples. We got couples in this church tonight. Just like any other church I preach this at. We got couples on the banks of divorce. Not because of an actual sin, but because of a perceived sin. Because his mind is so tormented and her mind is so tormented that they can't explain what they feel one to another. And when the art of communication is no longer in a marriage, there is no marriage. And when you can't communicate, and when you can't communicate what you feel, the devil jumps on and says, see, they're guilty. They're cheating on you. And I'm here to preach to you today that the battle of all ages is going on right now. But God's got it all figured out. Go ahead, sister, shout. We've lost kids to the world. We're losing marriages every week to the world. We're losing minds to the world. No. Tell me about God's deliverance of my soul. Tell me how powerful God can save my body. But nobody wants to talk about the battle of the mind. Let me tell you, my greatest battle is not in my carnality or my flesh. My greatest battle is my mind. Yeah. You don't know the hours. You don't know the nights. I walked through my living room and I walked into my little boy's room and the devil say, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to eat him up with tumors. He's never going to walk. He's headed to a wheelchair. He'll never have a marriage. He'll never have children. I'm going to rob you of all of that. Do you know what it takes to walk to this pulpit and tell you that my mind is fixed, my heart is steadfast? Do you not understand that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? But I'm not going to lie to you today like others and tell you everything's all right. The mind, it wars in my mind. What's wrong, sir? I wished I could tell you. I pastored long enough to sit across the desk of enough people and them try to tell me what they were going through, only for them to look at me finally and say, I don't know. I can't explain it. And I would say, what do you mean you can't explain it? I mean, either you're going through something or you're not. Yeah, but pastor, this is where this all started. Yeah, but pastor, I feel like I'm losing my mind. Maybe I need mental help. And I finally looked at one of them and I said, I can't help you anymore. You need to go see a psychiatrist. And I realized it's not a physical mind battle. It's a spiritual mind battle. Because it wasn't the body that cost Israel Canaan. It was the mind of Israel that cost them Canaan. Oh, come on. They left Egypt. They were baptized of spirit and water. But they never got mentally free. And because they never got mentally free, they never possessed the land of promise like they should have. It's not enough for you to get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's where we... Pastor, I hope I don't cause you any problems here today. But the new birth experience is where you start, not where you end. Let's stop having block parties and let's start having some home Bible studies. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. I walked into his father's office and was taken back at the showcase of mastery. I walked into your pastor's office and I'm thinking, man, I don't have anything near that big. I've never shot that. But I am a hunter. Well, I like to kill things. And I know enough that if pastor, you say, hey, let's go quail hunting tomorrow, I'm not going to bring my 25-06 or my 37 or my 270 or my 243. I'm going to bring my 12 gauge. I got my Browning light. And I'm going to bring some 6.5 or 7s, 4 if they're good wild birds. If I convinced you, if I'm going to hunt my lease in Mississippi, I'm not going to bring my 7mm mag. 243, 270, that's all I need. About 119, 129 grain, that's enough. If I go to Nebraska, where I got to reach out and touch something. So my point is, if you tell me we're going bear hunting, I know what rifle to bring. If you tell me we're going to go leopard hunting, I know what rifle to bring. And if I don't know, I'll Google that dude. Killing bear. And I'll read up where they sleep, what they eat, how they travel, their mating seasons. Because you can kill what you know. But let's do this. Tell me this morning. Explain to me right now what it is you're feeling. Put it in words. Tell him. Walk on up here right now and tell him exactly. Explain the battle of your mind to him. You know the reason why you haven't and you can't? Because you would think he would think you crazy. Because you can't explain it. And you're not supposed to be able to explain it. And that's where the enemy wreaks havoc in the church. Because those before us had such great victories over the lion, the leopard, and the bear. We think we are a lesser people because our battle is unnameable. But he's also stronger than the lion, the leopard, and the bear. He doesn't fight like the lion, the leopard, and the bear. That's why, Pastor Pugh, we can't keep having church like we've always had church. That's why I spent 20 minutes wasting 20 minutes preaching to people who should not have had to be preached to about the goodness and the greatness of God. I'm not mad at you. We're on the same team. I'm here to impart something to you. I'm not going to be the evangelist preaches and leaves. There is a battle we are fighting we have never fought before. There are no answers from the previous except stay the course. Don't give up. I tried everything to be there yesterday. They buried a patriarch of my home church 57 years. She said in the same pew, 57 years. Divorced, mother of five, raised every one of them in apostolic church. A patriarch, if I have ever seen one. A mother in Israel, a prayer warrior. Prayed for me every day since 1992. She kept the faith. She finished the course. She kept the faith. She finished the course. So let me be very real today. How come you don't have victory? Why don't you just go ahead and slay this thing? I'll tell you why. Because there's no Bible study. And there's no sermon that explains it. Where we had more time, had we more time, I would take you back to Daniel 7. And I would break it down verse by verse. And I would show you that he said, like a leopard. It wasn't a leopard. It was like a leopard. So that when Daniel understood the spirit of the age that the people of God would fight, he would say, think. When you fight this thing, it will act like a leopard. Study the leopards and you'll win. But when he said the fourth and the final, he said, he is unlike all the rest. He has great teeth. He breaks. He devours. Brother, he doesn't just decimate a home. He stomps on the home. Have you ever seen people commit such crazy sins? I was with a pastor the other day. Now, I pastored for 19 years, and I pastored in the land of fruits and nuts, and there ain't a whole lot that surprises me. You're going to laugh, and you've heard it before, but I'm telling you, when somebody would come in and say, my wife cheated on me, my husband cheated on me, I would almost stand up and hand them a medallion, a certificate. Thank God it's just adultery. You listening? You know it's bad when you're thankful for a good old case of adultery. Now it's not adultery. Oh, it's adultery. But she used to be a he, and he was married to the other hers, him, and him's back in church, and now he remembers him when him was a her. And so I just want to stand up here and say, my God, whose husband or her, what will they be in the resurrection? Go ahead, you might as well laugh. It ain't gonna get any better today. How do you fix that? How do you battle? How do you battle against the spirit that attacks the mind? You don't have to your flesh. He'll let you keep sitting right there. He'll let you come to church every Sunday night. He'll let you sit right there and do nothing. But he doesn't want your mind to be touched today. Because he knows, he knows you've got enough weapons to take care of the mind, but you are powerless when it comes to the mind. You got enough weapons to take care of the body, but you don't have enough weapons to take care of the mind. The mind is the church's weakest link. It's what cost Israel. It's what cost them. They died in the desert because they couldn't get their minds out of Egypt. Now listen, 5 minutes and I'll be done here today. The spirit of the age is a mind game. It's a mind game. It'll get you to think things about your pastor that are not true. It'll get you to see things in this church that are non-existent. It'll get you to remember things that used to be here that are no longer here. Woo! Just found it. Matter of fact, I found five or six things right there. This church needs a baptism of memory loss. Let me just climb right on up here. You need to forget the past. Quit living in the past. Quit holding the pulpit accountable to the past. Don't get mad at me. You ought to be standing up, clapping your hands, and saying, thank God we're going to have revival. Hey, let's shout over deliverance from drugs and alcohol, but I'm ready to start shouting over deliverance of the mind. I want marriage just put back together. I want home strengthened. Come on, apostolics, dear God in heaven. We got to have a victory of the mind. Grab a chair, set it right there. Now listen to me. I have no intention of preaching long. I'm done. But as you can tell, I don't think I'm here by coincidence. I don't think I'm here by accident. I think I'm here to impart something this church is going to help you and put tools in your pastor's tool bag pouch to help break this church into the dominion it's supposed to live in. Let me just tell you something. If you don't help me today and you don't get this, you ain't seen the vacuum of young couples. Are you hearing me? We are losing the battle, folks. When it comes to young couples, the millennials, I get so sick of that phrase, but we are losing the battle of millennials because we are afraid to preach like I'm preaching today. Thank you for standing. Do you know what? Do you know when you stand like this and you help me preach, do you know that you actually change the spiritual structure of this church? When you believe what your man of God's preaching and you stand up, you actually change the environment and the atmosphere. You move things when you stand up. I know you don't have to believe me, but I'm right. You move things. For you standing and helping me right now, you are helping me war against this pressure. Thank you for helping me today. Stay where you are. God had blessed us, and we had gotten our little building, little church up to over 300, and we were heading in the right direction, and 7 and 8, the economy crashed, and we all felt it. It was horrible. I had 50-some units leave my church in 30 days because of job loss, and the perfect storm hit. In the middle of all of that, I had two daughter work pastors who thought that they could do a better job, and so they took a few more and left, and then my oldest son was married, and his wife made some bad choices, and so left him devastated and broken, divorced, and so I'm trying to handle church problems, and I'm trying to handle financial problems, and my son is broken beyond repair, it seemed, and I didn't know what to do. I'm supposed to have God. I'm supposed to cast out devils. I'm supposed to proclaim the name of Jesus. Devil, go! And he's in there, laughed at me. So I'm curled up on the floor, hadn't moved in 3 days. Locked myself in my bedroom. I was done. I was in a fetal position, laying in the carpet. No more tears. I just lay in there in a daze. And out of nowhere, here it was. Now, you are in a position to receive what I've been trying to give all this time. I said, was that you after all these months? Was that really you? And he said, stand up. For now you know the church has to take and quit waiting. And I said, what does that mean? He said, all of your life with me, you have been taught what I plan on giving will come down. But that is wrong. What I plan on giving, I have already given. You have to teach the church how to release and stop waiting on it to come. So I started watching the places I preached. Hear me? I'm not mad. Same thing. I started watching the places we preached. And I started remembering the songs we sang. Send it on down. And I watched the posture of God's people when they come to the altar. And everything about the church looked like this. young people in marriages and our whole lives to look and wait on something to come. But when the disciples did that, the angel said, "Why stand ye here gazing? Lower your view. It's in Jerusalem." And I'm telling this church, what you've been waiting on all these years will not come down, because it's already pre-existent in every believer. It's in every man and every woman of this church. That no more Holy Ghost to come. There's no more gifts to come. There's nothing else going to come from heaven except a shout and a trumpet. If we're going to have revival, hear me. Dear God, hear me. If we're going to have revival, you're going to have revival because you learn to release. Here we go. I'm done. I know. Here's where I get in trouble. Sit down, God. And the Bible says that all these spirits came to him and submitted their power to him. Now, if I had time, I'd walk you through. I'd prove you verse by verse is what happened. But I'm going to give you the short version. They submitted. They gave him power. And the Bible says, and dominion set. The Ancient of Days took dominion and set. And all power of all kings and all nations, all was given to him, and he sat on the throne until the fourth beast showed up. And he struggled and he wars against the fourth beast. Read it, Daniel chapter 7. And the dominion of the fourth beast was ultimately given to him. And then it says, but there was a war that was made against the church. But sound man, Daniel chapter 7, verse 14. Are you with me? And there was given him, everybody say that's the dude, right there, glory, dominion, a kingdom, all people, nations, languages serve him. His dominion is in, which shall, and that which shall not be. Don't you ever think Jesus Christ has ever or will ever lose a battle. It may look like he's sitting, but he's working. Verse 17. Stay with me. Don't go to lunch yet. These great four beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Here's 17. Here's 18. Here we go. Ready? But the of the Most High. But wait a minute. Here's the kind of church we have. You're going to stay right there in your pew. You got the world's greatest glue on your backside. Well, it's coming. I believe it's coming. I'm going to sit right here and wait on it. Because it's going to come. Preach on, preacher. We'll wait till it comes. And the Holy Ghost is saying, you're missing it. You're missing it. It ain't coming. It's already there. It's in you. You have to. T-A-K-E. You have to. How are you going to take something sitting there? Ever since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven hath suffered violence. Guess what? The violent. You know when revival is going to come to Moss Bluff? When you want it. And the saints shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom. I'm tired of having camp meeting church. I'm tired of having youth camp church. I'm just trying to hear you. I'm tired of having revival church where we come and we eat a little grape and we say, wasn't that good? Woo, it's good. It's going to be great over there. I'm sick of that kind of church. I contend that I am an apostolic, and every service I can possess the land of promise. Don't leave me. Verse 19, but I would know the truth of the four beasts, which are diverse from all the others. This battle ain't like the others we fought. It's exceeding dreadful. Teeth of iron, nails of brass, devour, break in pieces. Verse 20, oh God help me. And the ten horns. Verse 21, and I beheld the same horn made war. And here's the hypocrisy of the church. The devil can't defeat us. We got power. We got glory. For a specific allotted period of time, it appears. Because God's not interested in anybody going to Canaan that don't want to go to Canaan. And so what he's going to do, he's going to allow sifting. He don't want you going to the land of promise if you don't want to go to the land of promise. He ain't going to let you ride in on a coat of ease. He wants to know if you've got enough fortitude and tenacity to slug it out. Take it. I started to use oil like I have in the past, but I've ruined about four coats, so we're going to act like this is oil. Is that okay? And so right in the middle of this, when the Lord started dealing with me about this message and what to preach in churches I preach at, I was preaching in my pulpit, had about 30, 35 people left. I thought the devil was winning. I looked out there at my boy, and he never left God, never forsook the church, but he grew a beard, and he was sitting there. He was tore up, jacked up for 6 months. For 6 months, he slept on the pallet. He couldn't get back into bed. He couldn't sleep by himself. So I would sleep on the couch, and he would take his hand, and between me and the couch cushion, he'd just stick a finger or two just to touch something human. The devil taunted. The devil laughed. The devil said, got him. I got your greatest pride, got your firstborn, got your namesake. See there, you don't have any power. And I was preaching, and the Lord spoke and said, I gave you dominion, and anytime you really take it, you own it. What are you going to do about that boy? And I said, God, I'm just going to allow him to make his choices. I'm just going to keep praying. He said, I didn't tell you to pray about it. I told you to keep what I gave you. I'm sorry. I thought I was preaching apostolic. See, Genesis chapter 2, he gave Adam and said, keep it. And so while I was preaching, I reached over and grabbed a bottle of oil, and I never stopped preaching. I'm going to get your coat wet. I want you to know. You ready? I just kept preaching, and I walked to the back of that little old building, and I grabbed my son. He's bigger than I am. I grabbed him just like this, and I'm glad he was an obedient child, and I drug him just like this to the altar, and I never stopped preaching, and I went just like that, and I went just like this. You ain't going to hell. I didn't bring you into this world. I didn't teach you right from wrong. I refuse to let you go to hell. I take dominion. You can sit right there and let the fourth beast rob you, pillage you, or you can take the kingdom. God's not looking for passive Pentecostals. He's looking for men and women that will take something. Take the kingdom. It's for the church. Can't. The devil's got my mind. He thinks he's got your mind. Verse 21. I beheld the same horde made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Battle's not over. Battle's not over. Battle's not over. Did you hear me, devil? Did you hear me, tumor devil? Battle's not over. Battle's not over. Battle's not over. I'm taking dominion. I'm taking dominion. I'm taking my boy's health. I'm taking. 22. Stay there with the 22. Until he made war with the saints and he prevailed. Until the Ancient of Days came. Just walk among the church. You know what we're feeling the past, since January 1st, 2017? You know the rumbling in the spirit you've been feeling? It's the Shekinah. It's the Holy Ghost pulling. It's the Holy Ghost walking. January the 1st this year, I declared publicly, and I say it here, 2017 is the year of the apostolic church. It'll make us or break us. 2017 is the year of Moss Bluff. It'll make you or break you. This year, this church, what some of you have not been able to identify is the glory of God walking among this church. It's a rumbling. It's just a feeling. It's the Holy Ghost saying, I'm here. I'm here. I know it's been a dark day. I know it's been a dark season, but I have come. Keep walking, God. Keep walking. And the time. Shout with me. And the time. Shout with me. And the time. Shout it loud. And the time came that the saints. You know why this battle is unlike the other battles? Leave it up here, brother. Because this is the end of the end. And the Holy Ghost just wants to know if you got what it takes to have the kind of glory that the Book of Acts Church started with. I feel so prophetic here today. Acts chapter 2 started. Craziness, drunkenness, Holy Ghost outpouring, miracles, signs, and wonders. The Book of Acts is the only New Testament book that does not have a salutation and a final ending. That's because you are writing the 29th chapter. And I just want to ask you, Moss Bluff, do you look like the second chapter of the Book of Acts? Do you really believe that God is going to let this thing come in one way and go out a different way? No. That's why he's walking among your house. That's why the devil's fighting for your mind. That's why the battle of all ages has erupted. And you can keep your mask on today, and you can act like you're bored and I preach too long and all that above. But I know better. I know that you're in the fight of your life. I know that you're about to call it quits, but you don't want to. But I also know that you can't explain what you're feeling and you'd like to. I'm going to help you. The Ancient of Days is here, and he wants to give you. But you're going to have to take it. You can't just walk up here and say, feel me. You're going to have to get. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Except her. I'm going to ask everybody, just take a few steps back. This is just symbolic, okay? Just a few steps back. Okay. Now, if you're here today and you're tired of the hypocrisy, but you know I preached to you, until the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. God is frustrated with the North America church. Because we're rich, increased with goods. We say we don't have need of anything. But anytime he comes to visit us, he has to start on the outside and knock until somebody gets spiritual enough to let him in. And he's not mad, except for this reason. We false advertise. We have a name of being alive, but really we're dead. That's what got Laodicea. Pastor Pugh, he let the church with the seed of Satan stay. He let the church that operated in the spirit of Beelzebub stay and Jezebel stay. But when he found a church that said, we believe in aisle running, tongue talking, and deliverance, and didn't operate in it, he said, you make me sick. He said, I'd rather you be completely cold or completely hot. But because you are so status quo, because you are so mundane, because you are so stuck in culture, you make me sick. I don't care how long you've been here, Moss Bluff. I don't care what your past victories look like, Moss Bluff. You will not go to heaven based on your past. You will go to heaven based on the time of your visitation. You're going to have to quit waiting on the man of God to break this thing open, to bring in the right evangelist, to put the right combination of programs together. And you're going to have to realize you're in the fight of your life. And if you as an individual and you as a married couple and you as a family are going to make it, you're going to have to quit being the hypocrite and get honest. And you're going to have to pray harder than you've ever prayed. You're going to have to worship more than you've ever worshiped. You're going to have to love and forgive like you've never loved and forgave. Because the time has come for the saints to possess. We have a culture among the United Pentecostal Church that when we make an altar call, you're going to come and you're going to stand and act like a beggar. Had I allowed you to continue, you would have come here and acted like a beggar. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you have the Holy Ghost? Are you baptized into His name? Then why are you begging for something that you already are supposed to possess? I don't go to my refrigerator and say, please open the door, please open door, please open door. There's some milk in there that I'm really thirsty for. There's a sandwich I would love to make. Please door open, please door open. Although it's in there, what do? I open the door because I know what's in there. I own the fridge and the content. You own the power. God, Old Testament, you believe in Him, I'm sure. 100%. The totality, the completion, the Jehovah of the old is the Jesus of the new. Okay. So if God is Jesus, okay, in totality, okay, not lesser, not equal, not, He is, man, okay. Colossians 2:9. The mystery which had been hid, sis, don't leave, come here. The mystery that had been hid from ages and from generations, stay right here. The mystery that had been hid from ages and from generations now made known unto you, which is Christ in. So if it's God in Christ in totality, and Christ in me in totality, the God of the old is the Jesus of the new. The Jesus of the new is in you. Why are we a lesser vessel than the man Christ? If greater works than these shall ye do came falling out of His mouth, how can we do a greater work in this hour with a lesser anointing? Pastor Pugh, if I ask every saint that's been around church any time at all what it was that the two preachers that went to the gate beautiful on their way to church, when the man begging alms said, alms, alms, please, I'm hungry. If I ask you what their response was, what would you say? What did the preachers tell the guy begging alms? Silver and gold. Right, right. But see, that's not what they said. Here's what they said first. Look on us. Why don't you want Moss Bluff to look at you? Why? I tell you why. Because you're not convinced you have it. You're convinced of what you don't have. I know it's quiet. The rumble. See, that was the Holy Ghost. How much more confirmation do you need? Why are we so afraid to tell your neighbor, look at me? They didn't say, look to Jesus. They knew that they had the power of Christ in them. And they said, here we go. Silver and gold have we none, but I got something when I was with Jesus. Get up, walk. And he did. Jesus wasn't there. But they were. So if I ask you to do what culture has taught you to do, you'd walk to this pulpit or your platform and you would beg God. I'm going to ask you not to do that. I'm going to ask you, come take the kingdom. If you are here today, in the mind, and this is a moment of reality, the mind has been attacked, and you've hit it well. You have masked it. Probably nobody knows the real battle going on in your mind right now. If you're here, you're the one that God wants to take the kingdom. That's why the enemy has fought you so hard. I want you to come stand as close to this platform as you can get with me. Nobody's judging. Nobody's looking around because nobody cares now. And the time came. Pastor Pugh, there's a spiritual dominion. There's a spiritual moment for this congregation today. The Holy Ghost has so ordained this moment. But it won't come because the people you lead come and beg God. It's going to come because the people you lead come and take. They're tired of the fight. They're tired of the mental anguish. They're tired of the battle of the mind. They've almost committed suicide. They've almost walked out of the church. They've almost lost their marriage. They've made false accusations. Reality has become, help me, that's it. Come on. I'm not even going to tell you what to do, because if I tell you, then I'm leading you and I can't tell you. I'm just going to tell you what the Word of God says. And the time came that the saints took the kingdom. And the time came that the saints took the kingdom. They took the kingdom. They got mad enough. They got angry enough. They got fed up enough. They realized that this is ours for the taking. We do not have to live like this.